The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. My name is Alex Dunn and I've been joined in the studio by Sean Quinn to look ahead to three races on Wednesday. We're going to look at three at Hexham, a decent card actually for Hexham. And we're also going to look back at the past weekend. Sean was obviously at Cheltenham, so we'll catch up on him with that. How are you doing, Sean?
Yeah, very well, Alex. And yourself?
Yeah, not too bad, thanks.
Good man. Yeah, good man.
We'll kick things off obviously with Cheltenham. I know we've talked on it on previous podcasts in the last few days, but be nice to have some first hand experience. Obviously, you were there. How was it for you? And were you pleased with the runners that you had down there?
I was pleased with two of the three. None of them troubled the judge, but two of the three showed a great deal of promise, and one of them was disappointing. Kashmir Peak disappointed, but I just don't think he likes the track. He's run twice there now and he's run terribly both times, and all of his form on the flat is on level tracks, galloping tracks, big long straights.
Doncaster and
exactly
places like that. Yeah.
So we might look Doncaster over jumps with him, Weatherby's, Haydock's, those sort of tracks will probably suit him better, because he's just not showing his form around Cheltenham. And yeah, whilst it's disappointing, I think if that is the only reason, then we haven't too much to worry about, because there are other top venues where we can run him. So no, he was a little bit disappointing, but Recession Proof ran really well. He just didn't stay 3 miles. It was a fact finding mission. We know he didn't stay 3 miles, but Brian Cooper said he feels like he retains all of his old ability, which was a positive.
That's good.
And Calculated Risk ran well in the Great Wood, but when there was a faller down the back, he was badly hampered. And Richard Johnson said he got knocked sideways, and that that just caused the horse to lose all momentum. He's not the sort of horse that you'd want to lose your momentum with. I'm not saying he'd have won the Great Wood for a second, Alex, but he was beaten just over 9 lengths. Well, he's been stopped in his tracks. He might have been beaten 4 or 5, in which case it would have looked a very respectable run.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. And highlights of the few days that you were down there, non-Quinn-based?
What did we have? I thought John Spirit's performance was good in the big Paddy Power chase, without suggesting that he can make his mark at the top level, because we've seen the odd performer, haven't we, go on from winning that race to make his mark in Grade 1 company. I'm not sure he can, but that said, he's only 6, so Connections have every right to be excited with him. Similarly, the Great Wood hurdle, I don't think we've seen a champion hurdler in that, but the Pipes will be delighted with Del Arca on just his fourth start over hurdles, his first for them, winning such a big pot. They gave a lofty fee for him, so they'll have been delighted to see him justify that fee to some extent. And there were several good novice performances. I think Nicky Henderson's horse, Royal Irish Hussar, in the juvenile division, he looks the best juvenile that I've seen this year.
He's certainly gone the right way, isn't he?
He is, and the only thing I would say, I still don't feel we've seen the best of the juveniles yet.
No.
I don't.
No.
I think he is going to be a player in the Triumph Hurdle come March, but beneath him, I don't think we've seen too many juveniles that have really set the pulse racing.
Well, I mean, I was at Weatherby the day before Charlie Halliday.
Yes.
For the listed hurdle that Royal Irish Hussar won.
Mm.
And he improved, certainly, from his first run at, I think it was Market Raisin.
Market Raisin, yeah. Where he scrambled home, didn't he?
But he looked a different horse. But then again, at Weatherby, he was up against a lot of French imports, and they're the ones who are probably most likely to trouble him. The ones that, on their day, you know, because it's very tricky to gauge the form. I know David Pipe and Charlie Longston both had first-time out French runners at Weatherby.
Yes.
And they ran okay. They ran respectably. But all you need is one who just needs one performance, and all of a sudden the market's changed. You know, you've got a real short price favourite. But no, certainly at the minute, you'd have to say that Royal Irish Hussard deserves his place at the head of the Antipost betting. Certainly.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you. And I think that, as you said, there will be some sneaky ones coming over from France joining big yards. But on what we've seen, he looks very, very good, doesn't he?
And of course, we haven't really seen many Irish hands being played just yet.
No, but William Mullins and a couple of the others are sure to have some nice types at home.
Certainly. Okay then. Well, we're now going to look at three races where you wouldn't imagine there'll be many Cheltenham performers, but nevertheless, there's winners to be had. And it's competitive enough for the level. 12:40 at Hexham's the first race that we'll look at. It's a novice's handicap chase over 2.5 miles. 9 runners are down to go to post. And the logical place to start here is with Snooker, James Hewitt's charge, who won last time out at Carlisle.
Yeah, Snooker had been steadily progressive, hadn't he, up until that point this season. He'd registered a second at Perth, 3 starts back, second at Kelso, 2 starts back, and then finally bettered that form when winning on heavy ground at Carlisle last time out. The ground will be quite testing at Hexham tomorrow, so I think we can rest assured that he will have no problems going on the ground. It's hardly surprising that he handles plenty of cuts in the ground given his pedigree, and he's the sort of horse who's become nicely categorised, hasn't he, and could just be the type to progress a touch more. Still only a 6-year-old out of a Rosalía mare, so you'd imagine he should keep improving. And these larger obstacles, of course, were going to be his forte. This is going to be his 5th run over fences. He didn't show a great deal over hurdles, but again, that's hardly surprising given that the dam was only able to win over fences, and he's a brother to a point-to-point winner. The dam is also a sister to a point-to-point winner. So, you know, it's all chasing blood in the pedigree, and I'm not surprised to see Snooker step up, to see that he has stepped up since he's met with the larger obstacles. He's got a couple of decent opponents here, though. Decent at this level, anyway. Sam the Man is interesting on a return from his layoff. He was last seen finishing second, beaten at a shade of odds on at Exeter back in April. But that form mightn't be too bad in the context of this race, and his Huntingdon second, 2 starts back, was certainly a pretty decent run. All of his runs thus far have come in hurdle races. This is his first time meeting with the larger obstacles, so it'll be interesting to see how he handles them. But again, his dam was a point-to-point winner, and he's a half-brother to point-to-point winners. So like the horse we were just talking about, Snooker, you know, he's bred to appreciate these larger obstacles more than the smaller hurdles.
Okay, so would Snooker be the pick here?
Snooker would be the pick, but I think Sam the Man rates the biggest danger.
Okay then, the next race that we'll look at is the 110 from Hexham. It is a juvenile maiden hurdle over 2 miles. 7 runners down to quarter post. These contests are often down to experience. That's usually what gets you places. But the interesting winner for me here is trained by a certain John Quinn. Sean, you wouldn't happen to know him, would you?
I've heard about him.
Foss Family Fun, who really caught my eye. I think it was at Ayr when he won for Michael Bell and Tom Queeley. Travelling nicely from the back of the field. Looked like he'd take the hurdles, and clearly you think so.
Yeah, he's a really nice horse, actually, Foss Family Fun. A really nice model of a horse, and I'd be surprised if he didn't make quite a nice juvenile hurdler this season. As you say, he bolted up at Ayr 2 starts back and then was beaten at Haydock in quite a good race last time out, actually, Alex. But he was beaten, and he was one of the only horses that got into the race from the back that day, Foss Family Fun. So I think his performance could be upgraded. And he also got stopped in his run. So that's what really put us onto him. We thought that he was value to finish much, much closer than he actually did in the end. And you know, his schooling has been good, touch wood, thus far. He seems to handle plenty of cut in the ground, and if he can overcome his lack of experience, then I'd imagine he'll be bang there. I'm really looking forward to this horse this winter.
Okay. Biggest danger in this one?
I think you probably got to go with the Michael Smith horse, don't you? Most honourable. He has what we were just talking about, crucial experience, having had 2 runs to date. He was 4th first time up and then 2nd at Carlisle last time out. Oh, I might add, though, that I don't think the races in which he's been running in have been that great, nor is this one. But I think Force Family Fun would have been well up to winning those races, and this horse has been beaten in them.
Okay. Okay, so you're quite happy with Force Family Fun there in the 110?
I wouldn't be swapping, no.
Okay, good. The 140 is the final race that we'll look at. It is a novice's hurdle over 2 miles, also at Hexham, I should add. Nine runners go to post. Certainly not the strongest race. Johnny Ogg, it probably looks the one to beat here.
I think he does, doesn't he? He was a winner of his bumper at Round Catterick, I think it was. Yeah, it was in January of this year. He was then pitched in pretty deep in a couple of bumpers at Kempton and Chepstow. He disappointed, though, nonetheless. He didn't go on from his Catterick run. His first run at Chepstow wasn't all that encouraging, but it came in a very, very good race, didn't it? Well, I think it was the Persian War that he started off in. And then last time out at Chepstow, he was a beaten favourite, but ran much better to finish second. The fact that he's got the benefit of experience and he's shown a fair level of form in bumpers suggests that he'd be well up to winning a Hexham novices hurdle, Alex. So I do think he's the one they've got to beat. The horse that might give him most to think about is the horse of Nick Alexander's, another Matty, who was disappointing last time out when pulling up at Kelso, but prior to that had shown pretty decent form in the early part of this year, and I might be willing to take a chance that he probably just needed that run, that first run back, Alex, and will strip a lot fitter for it. If he does, then on the form he was showing earlier this year, he would be well up to giving Johnny Oak plenty to think about.
Okay, then. Damascus Steel, another one who brings course and distance form to the table, is pretty solid, but may struggle with a penalty. And Lord Brendy's one, I think, to keep an eye on for future races. Maybe
low-grade handicaps.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's got ability, though.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Okay, then. But Johnny Ogg would be the pick there.
He would, yeah. Okay. From another Matty.
Grand. Okay. Thanks very much for your time, Sean. Best of luck with those picks. And, of course, best of luck with Forced Family Fun tomorrow.
Thanks a lot, mate.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.